Hi, welcome to .NET Conf Focus on Microservices. My name is Carrie Payette, and I'm here to talk to you about migrating .NET Framework applications to the cloud, and in particular, WebForms. So let's be realistic here. WebForms is a huge player in the industry today, especially in large enterprise organizations. You can find these web applications serving critical roles. Just because you might have an aging fleet of applications, I want to make it clear that this doesn't exclude you from migrating to the cloud. These applications can be migrated to Azure and take full advantage of scalability, reliability, and security of the cloud. So let's go ahead and get started. All right, now listen up. Here's the story. You work for Wingtip Toys. And for those of you who've been around for a while, I'm sure that's to be a blast from the past. Anyhow, Wingtip Toys has been in business for over a century with legacy applications to prove it. Wingtip Toys has recently started a large shift to modernization, both to stay relevant in the competitive world of toys, but also to be seen as a company that's at the forefront of technology. They have multiple ongoing pilot projects ranging from IoT, analytics, machine learning, and you've guessed it, microservices. The pilot projects are really exciting and all, but the existing business doesn't run, nor does it currently depend on those fancy projects. Wingtip Toys has a vast portfolio of existing applications that are responsible for the critical day-to-day operations of the company. So truth be told, you can't just, you know, snap your fingers and modernize your fleet of applications instantly, but that would be really cool. So you, as the VP of modernization, your first focus is to get critical Wingtip applications off of aging on-premise infrastructure and into the cloud. So one of the most critical applications at Wingtip Toys is the e-commerce website application. So this application was initially built about 17 years ago using C# and ASP.NET web forms. The crew has done a decent job of keeping the framework versions up to date, and currently it's sitting at .NET 4.5. The on-premise architecture is made up of a SQL Server 2017 database hosting two application databases. ASP.NET Wingtips is responsible for holding ASP.NET specific tables, supporting things like identity and membership of the website. Wingtip Toys is responsible for the e-commerce specific data. So this is like the catalogs, products, pricing, and orders. The web service, Toybox Web 01, is a dedicated IIS box for the e-commerce website. What we need to do is get the SQL Server databases and the web applications up to the cloud. The desired architecture is to host the databases using SQL Azure and the website to be hosted in Azure Application Services. So you might ask yourself, well, how do we get there? So choosing a database deployment option really depends on the current state and versioning of your database, as well as how much control that you need to have over your SQL Server database engine or the underlying OS. So Azure SQL Database is a platform as a service option. This option is an always up-to-date version of SQL Server Enterprise Edition, and it's fully managed by Microsoft. While Azure SQL doesn't have every single feature of SQL Server, it's optimized for modern app development and offers both hyperscale and serverless options. So this option tends to require the most upfront work, but depending on the complexity and the features that you're using on your current database, really will gear to you how much work that you have to do upfront. Another option is Azure SQL Managed Instance, and this is another platform as a service option. This is when you want to take your existing databases and lift and shift them, just essentially lifting and shifting your database infrastructure. So this option boasts minimal to limited changes required to get your current databases to the cloud, and this option will also support shared resources between the databases, instance scope features, native VNet support, as well as full access to the SQL Server. Now, your most flexible option is SQL Server on Azure VM, and this is an infrastructure as an offering option where SQL Server is run inside of a fully managed VM. So this means that Microsoft manages the VM and the OS, but what it also means is that when you're running SQL Server on this SQL Server image from Microsoft, you get OS level access, which again provides you that lift and shift readiness, and you get full control over the SQL Server database engine. The VM is all VM supplied by Microsoft is managed by Microsoft, as I mentioned before, means that the administration costs of this thing are reduced because you don't need to manage the VM, OS patches, or database updates. That's all handled for you. And as an extra bonus, if you're currently running SQL 2008, making the move to Azure will give you extended support. As for web applications, what you want to do is you want to determine your application solution. So you have a couple options. You can have you can containerize your application, you can run it in an application service, and you can also go the VM route. So there's a lot of tools that can help us reach our destination, and we're going to go over a few here. An Azure Migrate project is a resource that's available to you through the Azure portal. It lets you create a migration plan, store assessments, and track where you are exactly in your migration journey. Azure Database Migration Services is a fully managed service by Microsoft available through the Azure portal. It works in conjunction with the Azure Data Migration Assistant, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But what it does allow you to do is seamlessly migrate your databases with minimal downtime. So essentially doing online migration. The Azure Data Migration Assistant is what the Migration Services works with. It helps perform assessments of your on-premise databases and provides you with remediation details. So this means that it'll assess your database and it will tell you if anything needs to be done before your migration. So if you have any issues, it'll give you some remediation steps and you can perform those. So even if you are using Azure Database Migration Services that I mentioned in the previous point, the remediation does not get done for you. You actually have to physically do that remediation. So the Azure Data Migration Assistant, should you choose not to use the Azure Data Migration Services, it also allows you to perform things like the schema and data migrations with the click of a button. So it really makes things easy on you. The Azure App Service Migration Assistant is the web application counterpart of the Data Migration Assistant. So we have a lot of assistants here working with us. It scans IIS websites for any potential incompatibilities, and it also will perform the deployment of the website to an app service in Azure for you. So you can see there are two links there. I'll tweet those a little bit after the session, but those are available for you to download. All right, so now let's go ahead and let's do the thing. All right, so the first thing that I'm going to do is move that over. Is I'm going to open up my Azure portal. So inside of the Azure portal, there's, let me go to the homepage. You can actually go ahead and search for resources and search for Azure Migrate. And Azure Migrate will come up. And what this does is, again, it allows you to have like that project view of where you are in your migration. And you can see here that even though today we're only talking about databases and web apps, it can help you set migration goals for servers, databases, VDIs, web apps, so on and so forth. So for us, we're interested in moving the databases over. So if I wanted to, I can go ahead and select databases. And the first thing that we want to do is say add tools. And it's going to ask us which subscription we're working in, and then we can create a migration project. So I can say Wingtips Web and hit next. And it's going to ask us to choose an assessment tool. And this first one right here is the one that I've been talking about, which is the database migration tool. So let's go ahead and select next, and we're going to use that same tool for the migration. And there we go. So now what I've done is I've added to my project a database migration step. So by using the tooling and using this website, you can see that we have our migration planned out for us. And these tools will work seamlessly with the applications that I'm going to show you here in a minute, which is the Data Migration Assistant and the App Server Migration Assistant. So similarly, inside of web apps, you can do the exact same thing. We can say add tools, And we have one to choose from, so it makes it pretty darn easy. And then we can select the next one and add the tool. So now you can see within our plan that we will have two databases that we're migrating, as well as a web app that we're migrating. So here's the assessment and here's the migration. Here's the database assessment and there's the database migration tools. Just so you know, I have a little bit of stuff pre-set up just for timing purposes and budget purposes. So when you actually do create the Azure resources through the tools that I'm going to show you, you don't really get a selection of what pricing SKU that you want to choose from. So I went ahead and created some so I can control my costs. So here you can see that I have a SQL Server, Wingtip Toys. We also have an app service plan, which will host our web application. So that's our Wingtip Toys app service. And we have the two databases that we're migrating, which is the ASP.NET Wingtips and Wingtip Toys. All right, so locally, I have an IIS server running. And you can see here's our, well, I forgot the G, so just, you know, forgive me there. But we have our Wingtip Toys right here, and it's currently running on port 8016. So if I bring up my web browser here, you can see that port 8016 is up and running, and I'm currently hitting my local database. So speaking of databases, here's our database. I'm connected actually to two servers. So here's my Azure server, and I can expand this, and you can see that we have Wingtip Toys here. If I expand the tables in both of these, why is that there? All right, I think I know what I did. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna delete those tables. I probably ran it without the connection string changed because I was doing a dry run before this one. All right, so, and then we have my local database, which has my Wingtips database. Oh, that's what I did. I deleted the wrong. All right, well, that's great. All right. So the first thing that I'm going to do is we're going to run the data migration assistant. And what I'm going to do here is actually run this web application really quickly. So it creates my tables again that I apparently deleted in my local database. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new assessment. And for this assessment, we're going to give it a project name. And I'm not actually going to save these, so I can name it whatever I want. So let's go ahead and hit create. And then we're going to check for database compatibility and feature parity. Then we're going to select our sources. So I'm going to select from my local database and connect. And I'm going to select that we're going to assess both the ASP.NET Wingtips as well as the Wingtip Toys databases. I'm going to add those for assessment and then start the assessment. So it's going to go ahead and do its thing. And it says, all right, for my assessment, I just want you to know that the key, like the encryption key management is not supported in Azure SQL Database. And that's okay for me. So I'm all right to go ahead and do the migration. So let me just go ahead and double check inside of SSMS here. So I'm going to go ahead and create a migration now. So my databases are coming out okay. Let me go ahead and select migration. And I'm going to go from SQL Server to the Azure SQL Database. And I'm going to migrate my schema and data. So let's go ahead and say create. I'm going to connect to my local database server. And we're going to have to do one database at a time here. So let's go ahead and do ASP.NET Wingtips and hit next. And then it's going to ask me to select a destination. And I want to select the Wingtip Toys destination. And then I'm going to enter my password. And hit connect. And it's going to ask me which database to move to. So because I kind of messed up my initialization here. I want to make sure that these databases are empty, so just bear with me here just for an unplanned moment while I delete these tables. All right. All right, so there's that one. And then let's do another new query here. And I'm going to drop these ones. All right, so no, that's a lesson learned. No matter how many times you prepare, there's always some things that can go wrong. All right, so now you can see that I don't have tables in these two databases. All right, so now I've now selected my now empty ASP.NET wingtips. I can hit next. And what it's doing now is it's actually going back and it's evaluating what exactly I have in my database to perform the migration. And I'm just going to migrate the tables over and generate a SQL script. Now this SQL script is something that if you wanted to, you can go ahead and take manually. But what I really like about this tool is that allows you just to deploy it right here. So let's go ahead and say deploy the schema, and it goes ahead and does it for you. It's completely hands off. So let's go ahead and migrate the data now, and here's the tables are all selected. Let's go ahead and start that data migration. And there we go, boom. We now have our first database migrated. So let's go ahead and repeat that for our second one. So again, I'm not actually going to be uploading or saving any of this to my migration project for the sake of time, but let's go ahead and do this. So we're going to connect to our local SQL server here, which is here, and connect. And this time we're going to migrate our wingtip toys. Let's go ahead and hit next. And then, I'm not going to migrate there. I want to migrate to Azure. All right, so here's our SQL server authentication. I get to enter my password again. And I'm going to hit connect. And we're going to migrate to Wingtip Toys. Same thing here. I want to migrate all the tables over. I'm going to generate the SQL script. It's going to go ahead and introspect the database and generate a script for the schema objects. Then I can click a button and boom, there goes my schema. And now let's go ahead and migrate the data. There we go. And now we're currently running all of our data is up in the cloud. So if I actually refresh this here now, you're going to see that our database tables are over there. So let's go ahead and open up our application here. So I want to change this and I'm going to uncomment these production connection strings. And I'm actually going to publish this to my local IIS. All right, so I'm going to right click on here and I'm going to say publish web.config, and it's just doing a file deploy to the folder that is hosting that my IIS is looking at. So I'm going to publish the web.config and it's successfully published. So now I can come back to my web browser here, and if I refresh it, it's now going to be pointing my local web application up to the database in the cloud. So here we go, we have planes, cars, what have you. So that's great. So we're halfway there. Now the next thing that we need to do is use the web application migration assistant to scan our web application to see if there's any incompatibilities to migrating this up to an application service. So to do that, we're actually going to open up another tool, which is our app service migration assistant. And what this is going to do is connect to my IIS server, and it's going to pull back all the websites that I have. And I wanted to do the Wingtip Toys one, so I'm going to select that one and hit next. And it's going to go ahead and scan my Wingtip Toys website for any incompatibilities. And wait, oh, we have one, right? So here's an error, and it says this error will block any automatic migration using this tool. But if you want to, you can go ahead and either continue and send the assessment results up to the Migrate project, or I can go ahead and remediate that myself. So the error says that the bindings were found on the following unsupported ports, which are 8016. So I know how to fix that one fairly quickly. So let me go ahead and go into IIS, and I'm going to edit the bindings, and I'm going to change this to a standard port, which is port 80. And I'm going to hit OK, yes, and close. So now if I browse to this application, it's going to be running on just localhost hitting the default port 80. So there we are. So I can actually restart this assessment now. So let's go ahead and go back to choose a site, select our wingtip toys again, and let it perform that assessment again. And now you can see that, woohoo, we have success. So let's go ahead and hit next. And now it's going to ask me to log into Azure using a device login. So I'm going to press this button, and it's going to copy this code to my clipboard and open a browser. Open down here. I'm going to paste that code in. Hit next. Make sure I log in with the correct account. And now I can go back to my tool. All right, so it's going to say I can select an Azure Migrate project. Now I did create one, but for sake of time, we're just going to skip this for now. But that's how you could report your migration steps up to that project for that overall view. And then I'm going to go to the .NET Conf resource group and the destination website. I can call this Wingtip Toys Web. And then I want to use my existing Wingtip Toys application service. And we can skip the database setup because we're actually already pointing to our SQL Azure database. So let's go ahead and select Migrate, and it's going to go ahead and do its thing. All right, so while that is happening, I want to show you that, okay, we're good. We've got our databases up, our web applications on its way. What else can I do to take advantage of the cloud? So one of the things that I've also set up is GitHub Actions to do a continuous deployment to our web application. So what I've done is I've created a GitHub action, which essentially says on any push of changes to the master branch, I want you to go ahead and build and deploy the web application. So it'll actually pull out down my code, compile my code, and create a build and release it to my web app, in Azure. So here you can see that it's checking out the code, setting up MS build, restoring NuGet packages, performing the build, creating the folder to publish the information, and then deploying to the Azure web app. Now, one thing that we need here is this Wingtip's publish profile. So as soon as our actual web application is done, and it is, we can actually go, we can hit go to your website, but the next thing that we can do is open up our Azure portal and get the publish profile now. So I'm going to go ahead and refresh my resources now, and you can see Wingtip Toys has now been established. And then I can select here to get my publish profile. And then I'm going to open this file, and I'm just going to copy this information. And what I'm going to do now is it sees it's requesting it from a secrets context. So I'm going to go back to Wingtip Toys. This is my Wingtip Toys repository. Go to settings and go to secrets, I'm going to update this, paste that in there, update the secret, and now I'm ready to go. So if I open up Visual Studio now, and I want to make a change, well, first I better see if, here's our wingtiptoys.web.azure.com, and you can see that my data is coming back because we're currently pointing to the Azure connection string. All right, so let's go ahead and make a change so we can watch this pipeline workflow work, the GitHub actions. So let's go to our default page, and we can say this is the epicest. That's a word, trademark, Carrie Payette. So I just add this is the epicest right here. I can go ahead and save that. And I'm going to commit my change. to the master branch. And again, whenever, I don't want that one. Unstage that selected one. I'll say hello.netconf. And I'm going to push this to master. So that workflow is going to be triggered on master. So it's going to go ahead and push those changes. And now if I bring up GitHub and go to the actions tab, you're going to see that we have our hello.netconf workflow running. And then each of the steps that I showed you is going to actually show up here. So it's setting up the job. It's running the checkout. It's going to set up MS Build and do all the steps that I talked to you about. So while this is happening, I don't know if there's any questions or commentary. I'm willing to take them now.
Hey, Carrie. Yes, we actually do have one question.
Sure.
And that is, to containerize your app, should we keep only one database instance container accessed by multiple instances of the web app? And also, how would you scale that database?
Well, that's the thing, is you probably want to put it into SQL Azure and then just have your applications pointing to it. And this way you can take advantage of those, of the features of SQL Azure itself, like the management. And like, again, depending on the SKU that you're looking for, like SQL Azure is like the most fully managed one. If you do managed instances, you get a little bit more control. So I would recommend doing it separately. So containerize your web application and then point it to like a SQL Azure database. So you're taking advantage of that infrastructure.
Gotcha. Then there's a follow-up question in that one as well. It says, should we keep multiple instances of a container of app plus database together? And if so, then how do we sync data across all the database instances?
Well, again, that's where you want to have it be separate. So if you wanted to have like clustering available to you, you can do that on like in Azure. So that's like you've got two different things happening here. You have your web application and you have your databases. So if you wanted to have different databases for different websites, you would just set up those instances separately. If you're just looking for like geo redundancies, you can actually set up like failovers and fallbacks and replication essentially across two different SQL servers in different regions.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So now that this is actually deployed, if I return here and go to our website, you should see that it's going to be the epicest ever. So you can see within here that we've completed all of our steps in our workflow. And we're going to give it a second. Again, I went for a very, very cheap app service. So we're going to give it a second to warm up. All right, there we go. This is the epicest. All right, so that is what I had for you today. If there's any more questions, feel free to ask. If not, thank you so much for participating. You can reach me on Twitter at Carrie Payette, on Twitch, Coding Bandit, proud team member of the Live Coders, and you can see my blog at codingbandit.com.
Thank you so much, Carrie. We don't have any more questions. I think people were just, you know, watching what you were doing there. So obviously go to Twitter and check out the .NETconf hashtags. So in case we have something there, you can answer it and we can go from there. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to present to us.